It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I am joined today by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about AI, artificial intelligence. And it's been prevalent in our news. I was listening to one of our previous podcasts when we were forecasting the year, and we briefly talked about that and said we would follow up with it. So here at that time, I was at a conference last week, and I was working with a colleague, and they use AI crazy amount. I mean, for almost everything. And, you know, they're a teacher part-time, and they were putting lesson plans in and then fine-tuning it to a quiz and just telling you how efficient and effective he was with it. And so I dived into AI, and when I think of AI, I think of ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. But in sports, it is so much more than that. I mean, and we, again, even in our previous podcast, we talked about how the baseball program and even some of our other programs have been utilizing baseball wearable technology, but and other programs for recruiting, scouting, and game analytics. It was crazy. Really, and I don't think we'll get all to it today, but I thought it was about time to talk about that and how we use it at LCC and even in a general sense of using it in athletic administration throughout college athletics. And I don't use it. I haven't used it. As I talked about in our previous broadcast over winter break, the AI ChatGPT part of it, I did a sample wedding toast, and that's what I did. And I haven't gone back to it, but I need to. For efficiency and effectiveness. I mean, again, wearable technology. I have a smartwatch. I get mm-hmm. to be a part of your program and use the Pison watch. And, you know, I work with stats a lot because I'm, you know, we're our sports information directors too. So, but with the ChatGPT, and I don't want to keep saying ChatGPT because there are other forms of generation. But I do want to touch on a couple of different of those things. I mean, officiating. Mm-hmm. Advertising. You talked about it a little bit before the podcast on, writing things or presentations, equipment, the wearable technology. And again, there's just so many ways it can go. Just quickly, your initial thought on artificial intelligence in sports.
Well, I have a quote that says artificial intelligence won't replace great coaches, but coaches who use AI will replace those who don't.
Ooh, that's a good one. I need to think about that one.
I think that's probably fair to say in a lot of occupations.
Yeah, absolutely, it is fair to say. And again, I agree. One of the things that every time I would read something about AI, it would like, what are the cons? And the one thing to remember is sports is still human factors to the core. And we talked about that earlier today of, it's performance of the human actually doing it that AI can't replace, although it is in officiating a little bit, as I think the MLB is chasing. So
when I think about AI, I think about efficiency. If you're chasing things like efficiency, AI can provide you with that efficiency. That doesn't mean that you just take and copy and paste everything that it's putting out, but it can definitely streamline some of the things that you're trying to do, more of the mundane tasks, the everyday mm-hmm. things. You can streamline those, become more efficient. I also look at AI as somewhat of a friend of mine in a lot of ways, because I will end up putting things in there and it will provide me with feedback for what my thoughts are. And so it's almost like I'm talking to somebody that's sitting right next to me, and I'll be looking for feedback. You know, what is a high performing entrepreneur that has a top 100 business in the world going to say about this? You know, and kind of prompting, not for everyday level conversations, but for some feedback from, you know, that degree of type of person. And that definitely helps in a lot of different ways, provide you with some different ideas.
It definitely speeds up the research, because you could have done all that on your own, of course.
Right through Google or anything else, but it speeds it up. And once again, that goes back to what I initially started talking about with just efficiency. It speeds things up.
Yeah. And we all need to be more efficient in what we do, especially as more things are thrown on us or that we are dealt with, or, you know, in the society where, you know, we keep moving on to certain things. So I think that's where it will help me more, is trying to be more efficient. I mean, you talked about before the podcast how even like doing stats, how if you did that on your own, that could be a tedious task that takes hours, where now AI can help us significantly lower that time, and I mean significantly in your eyes. And that's important, because it allows you to be doing other things, or really now then analyzing that stats, which also AI can do, so you can move forward with it. And Dalian, what about you? Anything you think of right away when you think of AI?
Yeah, I actually use it quite a bit in the role that I do here at the college. Okay. They actually started, I want to say about maybe a year ago, they started utilizing something called AI Spark in the podcast platform that we use to distribute the podcasts. And one of the things, the features is, first of all, it generates a transcript, which AI does most of the time anyway and has been doing for a long time. But in addition to that, it'll go through, and if we were to sell ads, even though we don't really do that in our podcast, it gives you little areas where it would be easy to sell an ad. It separates things. You know, our conversation right here that we're having, it'll take and it'll separate where the chapters would be.
Interesting.
You know, it'll for me to do that, to go through and do that with 30 different podcasts, that's a lot of time.
Right.
But the other thing it does, and I think what I've found the most helpful, is writing show notes.
Yeah.
I don't actually use the show notes verbatim because AI, I think, is a tool. And I also think it's still in the process of learning a lot of things. It's kind of like a toddler, and we're teaching it. And it's kind of funny, because you're supposed to be able to put into these show notes, I would like a humorous tone, but it does not understand humor at all.
Okay.
There's certain things it just doesn't understand.
Yet.
Yeah, and that's the bad humor. Exactly. Or the good one.
I always have to correct my name every time.
Well, and yeah, I bet. I thought you had used it for show notes before in a previous meeting we had. And you're right. And if you take it verbatim, I mean, it shouldn't be used for that context. It should be used to give you a guideline or utilize. The other thing that hit me in the last week that made me think I need to use AI is I then a Zoom meeting. And all of a sudden up in the chat, one of the people in attendance said, like, recording just activated AI for note summary, and they were leaving the meeting. I'm thinking, crazy, you know, and it came up at like, you know, the beginning when it said this Zoom meeting being recorded. Now it says this is being, you know, summarized by AI, even though we had a person in our meeting that was taking minutes, but this person didn't want to wait for that. And now that's happened twice in two meetings I've been at. So I'm thinking, wow, I really need to get to know this and understand it and learn it, because it makes sense. It could eliminate that secretary position in the future, like you do for show notes, to help you to do that. But again, the caution there is still the human element of checking it. And we've talked about, you know, kids turning in papers that, you know, some use it and don't proofread, which I think a problem in all our society, we don't proofread enough. That write, rewrite, rewrite, rewrite is a process to get a final document. And I think that's where we're at with a little bit of AI. We rely on it too much that we might not check it as well as we should have. One of the interesting statistics that I saw, and I don't know if this is accurate, within one of the documents I read it, but another use of AI in sports is predictions. Outcomes, you know, now especially in the sports gambling world, AI helped determine those scores and such. Injuries were a big part of it, but it said it's 40% accurate at this time. So not real high, but getting better than, you know, I'm sure when it first started. And from what I see, it probably started around 8 years ago, but it's really the last 2 years have really been where it's exponentially grown so much that the Olympics were kind of the first big event this last summer that really used AI as the integrated component for, you know, for workflows, for storytelling, for explaining sport that people don't know about, and for the viewer experience, which I think is where AI will probably help us the most in the future, is fan experience. Really, you know, with back to the social media and the short attention spans, that AI can really help with the fan experience at events.
I also think it gives us a platform to amplify human potential. And, you know, we talked about experience a little bit, but there, with the human potential, we're capable of so much. And you just have a right-hand partner or left-hand partner that's next to you to be able to amplify that potential if you know how to use it. And if you're looking to cut corners and just, you know, take everything verbatim and copy and paste, I think you're missing the genuineness of the human experience. But it certainly is a powerful thing that, if used correctly, can certainly enhance your performance.
Yeah. And back to your quote earlier about coaches still have to coach. Can it help them coach better? Yes.
It also helps them because they're able to focus on the relationship piece more and the mental development without having to do all of the crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
Crossing the T's and dotting the I's, because one of the benefits from AI from Wombrad is how specific it can help you get with each individual, especially predicting an injury or coming up with an injury rehab program.
Customized training. Customized, thank you. Yes. For individuals, yes.
Yeah. And then the same on the other side is the virtual reality, which I also know your program uses, how that has, you know, as we talked about before in this podcast, how do you, you know, and we've even seen with our teams, when you get to the big game, how do you prepare for it or how do you make practices? And virtual reality has helped with that. It doesn't replace it, but it helps. And
definitely,
I think,
stacks bricks in the proper direction.
Well, we couldn't go a podcast without using the word bricks. So we need to have an over-under of how many times we use the word bricks in our podcast. And AI could probably help us with that.
Hey, we haven't said anything about your parking in a while. So, you know.
No, we haven't. But on my last podcast, I told you I did my best parking job that I have done. But, you know, I park on the fourth floor where it's not as busy. So I'm just getting pretty good at backing up. And
you know, AI can actually do your parking now.
Well, see, my car doesn't have that. I need a car that does this. I just put it in and let it do it for me. But you're right. Even another world of automobiles, how, you know, I was leasing a vehicle and it had all the bells and whistles of, you know, let me know there's a car here, or if I get too close to a car, it slows me down. And now I went to a used car and I missed some of that. Like, I'll tell you, the biggest thing I learned, now we're digressing, is like, in my old car, it kept me between the lines. Like, if you went over, it would mess. And actually, I was a little worried because sometimes in the snow, it messed with it. But then when I'd go drive my wife's car, I almost got a little lazy because I expected the car to
do its thing.
Do it for me. You know, especially with construction on 27, it was, you know, nerve-wracking. So digressing, but yes, AI outside of the sports world is really impacting our lives.
I don't know
that
it's that much of a digression. It just shows how much AI is going to influence us or be a part of our lives no matter what you do.
True.
You're not going to escape it.
That is true. You aren't. And people are worried about it. I mean, there's a lot of fears and it's going to take over the world, but it comes to anything in life, it's balance and moderation and using it, you know, in the right context. Again, there's cheating involved with AI and, you know, again, the extreme, even in the classroom, we've talked about it and probably should do a session, at our formation days on using it the right way in the classroom and, in the field. I mean,
I'm sure these same conversations were being had when the internet was coming out too. And
you're
trying to balance technology with human judgment and, you know, the same conversations. So it just shows that we're progressing as a society and things are moving along in our world. And it's no different than the internet or those that had the encyclopedias in their homes. It's what do you do with it? If they just sit on a bookshelf and nobody pulls them out and goes through them, then it really doesn't matter that you have it. And so it's the people that are using it and using it for really tactical advantages and to grow better and grow more efficient.
And it is moving rapidly. I mean, and it's hard for sports rules to stay caught up with it, even as we look at baseball or football with the sideline technology where, you know, we've had issues in the past of intercepting headsets or signs or illegal videotaping of games.
Not that long ago, you weren't able to wear one of these in a baseball game, just this right here. And now you'll see kids with multiple watches on and it's all fine now.
Yeah. You know, and it helps communication. It eliminates some things that, and it works. I think those are benefits. One of the issues is cost. It's still expensive in some facets, but hopefully, as you know, more companies come out. Like even our streaming and streaming, the big thing that the pandemic helped exponentially change. I joke, streaming is one of the, you know, the trainer needs to be at a game, and we need to stream our event. And you know, the technology, there's automated cameras now that can pick up motion and move, and
follows
not in all
the
sports
ball.
But it's getting there. But you know how that has evolved and helped us out, and you know, made it more accessible to everyone. But again, it's difficult. You know, those are costs involved, and we're, you know, trying to balance that, and costs have come down. But there's certain group that were ahead of the game that had a monopoly on it that now have evolved, and there's more competition and more company that do different things such as stream, live stats, scouting and analytics, and it's almost hard to, you know, more overwhelming to figure out what to use. And that's a big topic in our office right now as we move forward on how to, you know, maximize that we can do all those things for all our sports, because right now we only do them for a couple and things. Again, technology has grown to allow baseball and softball were one of the last ones that they developed cameras for streaming, and it's still in the development stages of that. And your group done an excellent job just with different cameras to stream games, but it's important. I mean, it is here to stay. So I think of, again, I just keep thinking of like ChatGPT, but I'm dealing with it every day. And you brought up the good example. Even before technology, like encyclopedias were a resource to use things. You know, if you were in a fraternity or sorority, you had classmates that you utilized for help in those assignments. Now with technology doing a lot of that for it. I laugh at this because it's called an iPhone, but the phone features the least amount of thing that we probably use on this thing.
I very rarely make calls anymore.
That's crazy. I agree, but I actually like it as a business call because, again, it hinks, you know, another part of technology, it syncs to my hearing aid. So I hear better on the phone than I do an office phone where it doesn't magnify or amplify the sounding. But it's here to stay. I don't want to lose that human element, whether it's relationships, whether it's conversation, whether it's officiating. I worry about the officiating piece and how it's taken over there. Again, I think our society is having less tolerance for human error when being human is to err.
I think it even puts a higher priority on human communication verbally. And so that becomes a very large thing, because a lot of things that you, whether it's an email or a text or anything else, you're not really sure if it was AI generated or not. But with the verbal technology, you know where that's coming from. And so it puts a bigger priority on being able to communicate with words, because ultimately in our world, as we continue to progress forward, we still have to be able to communicate. And we've talked on previous podcasts how important communication is, whether it's on sports teams or families or business environments.
I hate to digress even more, but kind of interesting to that notion is when I went to a conference in Florida, like back in January, I'd have to say 40% of the sessions on podcasting were about AI. And there was one podcaster, they had set up so that like all of her episodes were done by AI in her voice. Hmm. Now, she's very upfront about it, and mm-hmm. she lets people know, but that's what the topic of her podcast was, AI. And it was just interesting because you'd listen to it and you'd never know it wasn't her.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it yeah. blows your mind.
It does. And I know one of me is plenty. We don't need an automated person of me. But you talked about using it for presentations and such and being able to search videos. It's almost like Google in a sense, you know, the new Google of, you know, putting it in there and it coming up with answers for you, and then you take it and run with it. And
yeah, it's like Atari to Nintendo. It's better.
It is. I mean, that's what it was supposed to be. I mean, and quicker, mm-hmm. which time is
better graphics
of the issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it only will continue to get better. And back to your quote, if we don't embrace it, we'll get left behind, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at. I haven't embraced it as well as I should have. That's you know, a goal of mine now is to use it more in moderation, in a way to help me be more efficient in my office environment.
It can help you with some of those home projects too.
Well, I need all the help I can get there. And that's, again, another way to not digress, but how it does, it's just such bigger than sports. It shows that sports is a microcosm of society, because I do believe it starts in sports. I think sports has been able to test a lot of things that it can carry over into other parts of the world and vice versa. We're going to end it there for now, and we'll have many more conversations on AI. I might use AI in the future to generate my last question, but I have two today.
Give it a run. That's a good place to start.
Yes.
It is, actually. Yes. I will. But as we record this podcast, it's March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament. So my first question is, do either of you fill out a bracket for March Madness?
No.
No.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, I fill out one with my family. I don't join all the pools and everything. And, you know, but we had student athletes in our office today, and they were talking, you know, they were, you know, cross country kids, but they knew everything about every team in the basketball tournament. Thinking, so I have to go home and tweak my bracket, but it is such a special event. So,
so you do?
I do. Yep. Okay. With just my fam. I mean, I fill one out, but I used to do one at my previous employer, but I was included in that, but I don't do that anymore.
Do you typically find that you're on the money?
No.
No,
I usually do it Sunday night right after it, and I don't have enough time to really study college basketball throughout the year to really know which team. Plus, my
if
heart
you used
gets
AI,
involved.
There you go. That's where I was going with it.
A little more knowledge.
Funny.
More knowledge.
This is your time to give it a try.
Wow, that's
create a bracket for me.
I don't even think of that. That's where I got to get into the mindset of thinking of using AI to use it, but it is a big sporting event, and I don't know, you know, relatively comparably speaking of what it is compared to others, but I like the tournament, you know, the College World Series in baseball, the College World Series in softball. I mean, these are fun time of year, these kind of sporting events where they're a bracket where the best team doesn't always win, but the team playing the best will win this time of year. Matchups and seeds, you know, like right now our NJCAA basketball tournaments are going on right now, and, you know, our women just missed it for the second year in a row, so we're watching and seeing the team there to see what we got to do, and the same with the men's tournament going on right now, and we got closer there at the end of the season went on. So, you know, those kind of events help make sports fun and people watch, and so that's going on in our site. Again, talking to cross-country kid today about college basketball, so it brings people together, and a lot of people do fill out a bracket. Like, there's mascot brackets out there. There's, you know, favorite color team or favorite name of team brackets out there. So I use all of those to help pick my team because I just don't study it enough. And I do okay. I mean, I usually finish in the top half, but I don't win it. So one other question, though, because this is killing me. I was at this conference, and we were practicing interviews with people, and one of the questions one of the ADs asked was non-negotiables. What's a non-negotiable for you? And we'll talk about it in coaching, but my first instinct is raisins and cookies. That's a non-negotiable. Raisins should not be in cookies. So,
interesting.
So what do you think about raisins and cookies?
Raisins and cookies, I think they definitely have a place.
Wow, man, Cutter, we are in different yeah. food palates.
So. Yeah, I got to agree with Cut on this one. I dig raisins. I know why people don't like them. I get it.
Great oatmeal raisin
That's
cookies.
That's exactly it. It goes great with oatmeal cookies.
I do not like, I like oatmeal chocolate chunk cookies, not oatmeal raisin cookies. Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. You both would have raisins in your cookie, because in future podcasts, I love cookies. We're going to talk about crumble and other cookies, but for now you both like raisins in your cookies.
I'm not gonna say I like it, but
okay, so it's not one of your favorite, but you will eat them. I won't eat them. You'll eat them. Do you is one of your favorites?
Sure,
it is.
Okay. He's like,
do you like raisins in your trail mix?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind that.
Yep.
I like raisins just as raisins, but not in other things for some reason.
I'm seeing that like 80s commercial with the raisin nuts, I think they were, or something like that.
Yeah. Two scoops of raisins or something like that.
Yeah.
So you're not opposed to raisins?
No.
Just certain just things you don't like.
Just mix your things up, like raisin bran. So anyway, until next time, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry, and you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!